And this morning we're going to look at the life of a man who lived in the presence of Jehovah. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 be our text today. On this Father's Day, I want us to look at a father's faith. The man that we're going to look at was a father. In fact, he was the father of the longest living man in history, Methuselah. The man that I'm talking about today is Enoch. And Enoch is an example of faith, an example that was designed to encourage the original readers of this letter who were going through difficulty. The author said, you have need of perseverance, you have need of patience, which means you have need of faith so that you might be able to endure these trials that you're going through. And then he gave many examples of great men and women of faith, and these examples were designed to encourage them and to encourage us. Last week we looked at Abel, who entered into the presence of God by faith through the blood sacrifice. And today we see a man who continues to fellowship with God by faith. The Bible says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Father, in Jesus' name, teach us what it means to have faith that pleases you. Show us from Enoch's life what that means. By your Spirit, through your Word, in Jesus' name and for His sake and glory. Amen. What kind of faith pleases God? The Bible says faith itself pleases God, and then gives us this man Enoch as an example of faith. And so I want us to look at the characteristics of Enoch's faith. You really find out about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. In one of those long, actually the first of those long genealogies in the Scripture. If you've ever attempted to read through the Bible and you got to Genesis 5, you were doing great, Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4, and all of a sudden you got to Genesis 5 and you may have fallen asleep or skipped over that section. But that section is very important because God wanted to say something to us through Genesis chapter 5 about this man Enoch, who is different from any other man who had ever lived up until that point. God wanted to show us, although He doesn't mention it in Genesis chapter 5, He mentions it over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, this man's faith. And so I want us to turn today to Genesis chapter 5 to look at Enoch's faith, which our text, Hebrews chapter 11, says pleased God. And I want us to look at both of these texts today just to look at the characteristics of Enoch's faith that pleased the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. And let's start in verse 18. We'll look at his dad. His father's name was Jared. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. By the way, they lived a little bit longer back then than they do today. Probably and certainly, the conditions of the earth were different before the flood, which enabled men to live longer. And it was according to God's plan because God was populating the earth with humanity, with people. We don't understand all the ins and outs, but we know that it was different for them than it was for us as far as the longevity of life is concerned. Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What kind of faith did this man Enoch have? This faith that is held up to us as an example, this faith that God honored. First of all, I see from Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch had what we might call conversion faith. Enoch had conversion faith. It didn't say that Enoch walked with God all his life. The Bible didn't say that when Enoch was a young man, he began to walk with God. The Bible said that when Enoch was 65 years old, according to Genesis chapter 5, when he was 65 years old, he began to walk with God. So for 65 years, apparently, Enoch walked the way Paul described the walk of all lost men, walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air. You see, a man is either walking with God or he's walking according to the course of this world. A man is either listening to and following the voice of God, or a man is walking according to his own lusts, his own flesh, or what the world tells him is good. And apparently this man Enoch did that for 65 years. And then Enoch had what we might call a conversion. Enoch was not walking with God, and then Enoch began to walk with God. Now, I believe on Father's Day it's appropriate to point this out. There was an event that took place in Enoch's life that helped him to begin to walk with God. He became a father. That's a great reason to begin walking with God, by the way. When your child sees you and you teach him about the Heavenly Father, he transfers what he sees in you to the Heavenly Father. Sometimes that's fortunate and sometimes that's very unfortunate, because people transfer things that are inaccurate to God that happened to be what they experienced in their earthly father. But Enoch must have realized the gravity of the situation of giving birth, his wife giving birth to this child. And somehow, the Bible doesn't tell us how, somehow Enoch, because of this, began to walk with the Lord. So fathers and mothers, if you're not walking with the Lord and you have children, they're looking to you, and you need to know that you're going to answer to God for the kind of life that you lived. You're going to answer to God for whether or not you walked according to the course of this world. If you elevated in your mind the things that the rest of the world made priorities in their life, whether or not you modeled God and a relationship with God before them, you're going to be responsible and accountable to God for that. Your children are going to remember, maybe many years after they leave your home, your example is going to speak very loudly to your children. They may be rebellious now, but one day they're going to remember their father and their mother, and they're going to make a choice. Am I going to walk with God like they did, or am I going to forsake God and walk according to the course of this world? So Enoch was a father, and Enoch had conversion faith. There is something also significant about this child, Methuselah. We really don't know what his name means. Scholars disagree about this. Some believe his name means man of the javelin. In other words, he was a hunter. And some people, some scholars say that Methuselah, I'm talking about Methuselah now, did I say Enoch? I'm talking about Methuselah's name. Some say it means man of the javelin. And other scholars say that his name literally means his death will bring it. His death will bring it. Did you know that when Methuselah died, if you do the math, I'm not very good at math, I think I had to use a little bit of algebra, but I figured out that the very year that Methuselah died was the very year that the flood came to the earth. And so along with this child, Methuselah, there was probably also word from the living God to Enoch that said, when this child dies, I'm going to judge the earth. I'm going to destroy all of those who have rebelled against me. And exactly 969 years after this child was born, when Methuselah died, the flood came. And mankind perished who had forsaken God and God's messenger, Noah. And so the Word of God came to Enoch. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somehow God communicated to Enoch that He was going to judge the earth, and that Enoch and all of mankind needed to follow Him. And Enoch believed God, and Enoch began to walk with God. Now my question to you today is this: have you experienced conversion faith? Can you look back to a time in your life when you once walked according to the course of this world? Your life was no different than the average, common, ordinary man that lives in this society or on this planet. And God came to you speaking through His gospel. That's the only way that He speaks in a life-changing way when you're lost. God came to you speaking through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you heard and you believed and you began to walk in a way that you've never walked before. You began now to walk with God. You are a different person, as I've said many times before, not a perfect person, but a different person. The entire direction of your life changed. Your entire mindset changed. Your desires changed. And you began to walk with the Lord. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. The kind of faith that changes your walk. No, I didn't say, did you take on church membership, did I? Well, you need to hear this. We need to hear this in our society. We need to hear this in our church. You say, oh, I'm tired of hearing that, preacher. Listen, I'm concerned about the day that you're going to stand before Almighty God. I'm preaching toward that end. I'm not preaching for your acceptance and popularity. I'd be preaching an entirely different message, and you know that. And so my question is, have you really had conversion? Have you turned to God from idols? Have you turned to the living God from the way that you used to walk before? Enoch had conversion faith. He didn't just take on a denomination or a religion. He was converted. He began to walk with God. He had conversion faith. The second thing that I want you to see is that Enoch had communion faith. He had communion faith or fellowship faith. He began to walk with God. That's what that word walk means. He began to walk with God. He began to have fellowship with God. What does that mean? What does that look like when we have fellowship with God? First of all, it says something about our conscience. It says we're conscious of the presence of God in our life. We don't just become conscious of God during that sweet hour of prayer when we walk with God. We don't just become conscious of God whenever the preacher is preaching when we're walking with God. But we're constantly aware of the presence of Almighty God. The Bible says there's nowhere that you can go to escape the presence of God. It says you can make your bed in hell and He's there. You can't get away from God on this earth. And so, when you're walking with God, as you live, that word walk means to live. And as you live your life, you're conscious that there's somebody that's watching you, and you're conscious that there's someone who's walking with you, and it's the living God. You're in the presence of Jehovah, just as we heard sung today. You don't live your life as a practical atheist, having God for one day a week, or 1 hour a week, or 2 days a week if you're really religious. But you walk with God. You live in the presence of God. Voltaire, the French skeptic, said the most hideous thing about Christianity is the idea that we're constantly being watched by God. And the reason he said that is because he didn't want God to see the way that he lived and to look into his heart. But the wonderful thing about walking with God is the God that we're walking with knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows exactly what we're feeling. He knows everything that we've done. Guess what? He even knows what you're going to do. And He still loves you. He loves us just the way that we are. So walking with God and fellowship with God is being conscious that God is with you. I invite you as you leave this church and as you live your life as a Christian, constantly remind yourself that you live this life in the presence of Almighty God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Fear not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee, he says, with the right hand of my righteousness. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You live your life in His presence. And so when we're in fellowship with God, we're conscious of the presence of the living God. He's not just a concept that's out there somewhere. He's real. And Enoch discovered that God was real and he was walking with Him. Walking with God and being in fellowship with God or communion with God also speaks of walking in God's counsel. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, the psalmist said, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But the man of God delights in the law of God. In his heart he doth meditate therein day and night. And so walking with God means we walk according to God's counsel. Now the thing that was different about Enoch and us is that, believe it or not, Enoch, this man who walked with God, didn't even have a Bible. We're greatly privileged, aren't we? If we want to know what God says about a particular situation in life, you can get a concordance or a Strong's or whatever it is, and you can look it up. God has given us this great privilege, and you can see what God says, and you can know absolutely what God says about a particular situation. And if you hide God's Word in your heart, like David did, I will hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. If you hide God's Word in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring that Word to remembrance. And when you find yourself walking through this life in a situation, God the Holy Spirit will speak to your conscience. He'll speak to your heart through His written Word. But Enoch didn't have a Bible, so Enoch had a heart that was sensitive to God, and even though we have a Scripture, we also need to have a heart that is sensitive to the direction and to the voice of God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when you don't know where to go, you'll hear a voice behind you that says, go not to the right and do not go to the left. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And God's Holy Spirit will do the same thing today, won't He? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What does that mean, in all your ways, acknowledge Him? It means you're walking in fellowship with God. And when you come to a situation in your life, you say, God, what do you think about this? Where should I go? I'm trusting in your wisdom and in your counsel to tell me which way to go. And you know what the Bible promises us? He will direct your paths. He'll tell you where to go. That's better than what a lot of other people do. That's better than what a lot of counselors do today. That's better than what a lot of preachers do today. It's better than what the talking heads in the news are doing today. God will direct your path. That's what it means to walk in fellowship with God, being conscious of His presence, having confidence in Him and His counsel. And it also means that your life is a contrast to that of the world. You see, Enoch lived in a very perilous time. He lived at the time leading up to the judgment that took place at the flood. And the Bible says that during that time, the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. And God said, because of that, I changed my mind even about creating man. But praise God, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And he spared mankind. But Enoch was living in perilous times. And so for Enoch to walk with God meant that he walked away from the way the rest of the world was living. And his life was different from the rest of mankind. And if you walk with God today, your life is going to be different. And a lot of people say, hey, listen, if we really want people to follow Jesus today, then we've got to be like they are. No, you're wrong. What the world really wants to see, people who are truly seeking after God, is they truly want to see people who are different. They want to see people who are real. That's the greatest thing you can do. The greatest thing that you can do for the lost world is to do what Enoch did and walk with God. And when people see you walking with God, they'll see God. That's what it means to have communion and fellowship with God. There are many other things that could be said, but it's a conscious awareness of God and knowing that we're living in His presence. And the only way that you can really live in His presence today in a way that's helpful is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's living in His presence, it's walking according to His counsel and His guidance with a sensitive heart and a mind and a heart that's open to the Word of God. And when we do that, it means we're going to walk differently than the way the rest of the world walks. And we know that's why the church is weak today, don't we? It's because there's a whole lot of world in the church. The more world there is in the church, the weaker the church is. It's like a little boy that was in a boat at sea. And they had gone past where you could see the land. And somebody said, wow, aren't you afraid of all this water that's around the boat? He said, no, water outside of the boat doesn't bother me. I get afraid whenever water starts coming in the boat. And we need to be concerned about the very same thing. About our own lives. Sometimes it's easy to generalize and say, oh, the church has gone to Hades in a handbasket. No, we need to look in the mirror, don't we? And say, am I walking with God? That's who I'm responsible for. I'm responsible to have fellowship with God myself. And so Enoch's faith was a kind of faith that walked with an unseen God. He couldn't see Him. Now, you say being conscious and aware of God and having fellowship with God, are you asking me to imagine that God is there with you? No. It's not like that Jimmy Stewart movie where Jimmy Stewart thought he saw a rabbit with him all the time. You ever seen that? He'd walk around and say, have you met my friend Harvey? You know? And they couldn't see it. Or he'd be sitting in a restaurant and he'd say, well, Harvey, what'd you like to drink? You know. Anyway, hey. No. God's more real than we are. If God wasn't here, this world would be nothing but total chaos and destruction. He sustains everything by the word of His power. There is a real God. And Enoch experienced that real God. He had communion. So the first characteristic of his faith was he had conversion faith. Very, very important. Don't say, I've always known the Lord. I was raised in church. I've always known the Lord. No. You've got the kind of faith that's real. You were converted. Conversion faith. Secondly, communion faith. And then thirdly, he had confessing faith. He spoke about this relationship that he had with God. Enoch didn't just have a relationship with the invisible God and that relationship stayed invisible to the rest of the entire world. No. Enoch owned God publicly. You say, where do you see that in the book of Genesis? I don't. But I see it over in the book of Jude and I'm going to read it for you. Jude. In the book of Jude, Enoch's words are recorded. In the book of Jude, you say, well, he's quoting the book of Enoch. And the book of Enoch is not in our Bible. No, the book of Enoch is not in our Bible. But in this Bible that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, every word, there's an excerpt from the book of Enoch that Enoch must have really stated. He must have really said it. Or else the Holy Spirit wouldn't have put it in here through Jude. Here's what Enoch said in verse 14 and 15 of the book of Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he was in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied. Prophecy is God speaking through a man. He prophesied about these men also. Talking here in this context about rebellious men, like the rebellious men that lived when Enoch lived. And so he prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints. Some of your translations say angels. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. You think Enoch was popular back then? He was either talking about one of two things or both. He was either talking there about the flood judgment that was coming. And I believe also by the Holy Spirit, this man Enoch, the seventh from Adam, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, was seeing all the way down to the very end of time and seeing the return of Jesus Christ. He was prophesying about the judgment that was going to come upon man because they had rejected God and become ungodly. He spoke about God. And he spoke some things that were unpopular about God. He wasn't a man that had a private communion with God. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying you need to go out in the streets. Although Jesus said, what you hear in secret, proclaim from the rooftops. Jesus said to acknowledge Him before men. I'm not saying go out and act like a nut. That'll drive more people away from the Lord than draw people to the Lord. But I am saying that if you have communion and fellowship with God, and you're walking with God, who the Bible says, if God be for us, then who can be against us, then you're not going to fear the one who can destroy the body, like Jesus said, but you'll fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, your fear and your dread, your reverence will not be for men and what they think about you, but your reverence will be for the living God, and you'll be able to say something about God. You won't live a private faith. You'll have a public faith. The closer you walk with God, I believe the more courage you'll have. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm afraid to say anything about God. Well, maybe the reason is because you're not walking closely and continuously and consciously with God. Because I think the closer you draw to the Lord, the longer you walk with God, the more courage you'll have. And what else are you going to have to talk about anyway? What are you going to have better to talk about than what God, the living God, who created heaven and earth, has just revealed to you? You going to have anything better to talk about? Golf, football better than that? I love football, but I don't think that even competes with the Creator of the universe, the living God. And so he had a confessing faith. Listen to what God's saying to you today. Listen to what God is saying to you this morning. This isn't a game. We're going to answer this living God for the way that we live our lives and for where we place our faith. And so he had a confessing faith, and then he had a continuous faith. He had a continuous faith. He didn't just walk with God for a little while and then cease to walk with God and start to live for self and then believe it's all going to be all right whenever. Because I've had an encounter with God. God has spoken with me by His Word. And now I can pretty much live the way the rest of the men are living. And then one day I'm going to go to heaven. It's all going to be all right. And God's just going to welcome me in. No, the Bible said he walked with God for 300 years. Could you imagine all the mess that guy had to deal with over a period of 300 years? We only live for what? 60, 70 years, 80? Usually when I talk to people who are close to the end, they're ready to go, aren't they? Because it's difficult. Life isn't easy, is it? This guy walked with God for 300 years. He'd already lived 65. He walked with God for 300 years. He didn't turn and cease to walk with the Lord. He had a faith that persevered. And that's the kind of faith that pleases God. Paul talked about a man named Demas. It says, Demas has left me. Why? Because he loved this present world. And there are a lot of folks today who start and don't finish. But Enoch finished, didn't he? He walked with God. Are you listening to me today? Say amen if you're listening to me. Enoch walked with God. He had a continuous faith. He had a communion faith. He had a conversion faith. He had a confessing faith. He wasn't ashamed of his relationship with God. And then the Bible says he had a faith that culminated in his translation back to Hebrews. The author of the Hebrews describes what happened to Enoch. It says in verse 5, and this is what the author of the Hebrews wants to focus on. He says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was taken away, which means he was transposed or translated. I thought everybody believed in the rapture. Until I came to seminary. And then I found out there are a lot of people, even good Christians, although at the time I wondered if they really were Christians. I was a pretty hardliner. They didn't believe in the rapture. And some of the things you hear about people that don't believe in the rapture, some of the things you hear them saying, oh, that's ridiculous. We're going to disappear. Oh, yeah, I'm waiting to do. You know, that's crazy, you know, they say. You know what they need to do? They need to go back to the book of Genesis. And look at this man, Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Guess what happened? He disappeared off the face of the earth. He never died. God translated him. He was so pleased with his faith. He was raptured. He was the first man that was raptured. The second man that was raptured was Elijah. He went to heaven in a whirlwind. Don't you think that people would think that looked ridiculous too? And the Bible says there's going to be a day when Jesus Christ Himself descends from heaven with a shout, my favorite verse, and you well know it by now, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's rapture. Enoch just happened to be the first one who was raptured. God was so pleased with his faith. He walked so closely to God that God said, Enoch, this world's not worthy of you. I'm going to take you to come and be with me in my presence unveiled forever. See, Enoch had to shed this flesh and blood. The Bible says flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So Enoch was changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, like we're going to be at the rapture. And this corruption, this flesh, put off this robe of flesh and took on incorruption. And Enoch had a glorified body. Otherwise, he could never stand in the presence of Jehovah. And God was so pleased that he came and took him. One little girl in studying about Enoch in Sunday school was trying to explain to her mother what happened. And she said, Enoch walked and talked with God, and they became so close that at the end of the day, God said to Enoch, said, hey, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you just come on in? And you say, well, I'm never going to be so moral and upright that God will look at me and say, this world is not worthy of you. No, probably not. Not me either. But the Bible says that we have died and our life is hidden in God with who? With Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are fully accepted in who? In the Beloved. That's Jesus Christ. And one day, if we don't die first, and you know Christ, and you walked with God, and it was real, you're going to be translated just like Enoch was. God's just going to pick you up and take you to heaven. You say, what if I do die? If you do die, as soon as you die, your spirit will go to be with the Lord in heaven. No big deal. Really, it isn't, is it? I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, everybody's worried about dying. He said, it's not hard to die. He said, you just lay down and stop breathing. Anybody could die. The only way you need to be afraid of death is if you don't know the Lord. If you know the Lord, there's nothing to fear in death. Oh, the unknown, yeah. We're afraid of the unknown. But David said, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. In that wonderful psalm, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of what? The reality of death? No. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This God that Enoch walked with, this God that you walk with, will walk through everything you go through in this life, including death, which is just a shadow to Him. And you'll walk through, and then one day your body will be resurrected. Wonderful. That's part of our faith, isn't it? So he had a conversion faith. He had a communion faith. He had a confessing faith. He had a continuing faith. He had a faith that culminated in his translation. Do you have a faith that will culminate in your translation or your resurrection glory? You say, well, that's Enoch. He was a great man. Well, look at verse 6. We won't spend a lot of time here, but Enoch's faith, although it was extraordinary, was also common. It's the kind of faith you exercise. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What the author is doing here is he's saying, even though faith was not mentioned in Genesis chapter 5, there's no way that God would have been pleased with Enoch if it wasn't for faith. He said, so if God was pleased with Enoch, that means that Enoch had faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. I don't believe that simply means that you believe that there's a God that exists. I believe that it means that you believe that God is, that He is the great I Am, that He is absolute, that He is God and there is no other. not just the belief in the existence of God. Even the demons believe in that and tremble. But faith believes that God is and that it's worth it to seek God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It means that even though the rest of the world can't see God, I know that He's real and it's worth me forsaking this life to seek the living God. It'll be worth it, not just in the life to come, but it's even worth it right now to walk with God. Enoch had that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith you can have. That's the kind of faith we all need to have. I might say it's the kind of faith you better have. If you plan to receive all the things that we've talked about today that come to us by the grace of Almighty God, never forget that even that faith itself is a gift from God. That way He gets the glory. So if you have that kind of faith, let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the power of Your Word, the truth of Your Word that doesn't always make us feel good. I thank You that You care enough to challenge us, that You care enough to direct us, that You love us so much that You accept us the way that we are, as one person said, but You love us too much to leave us that way. Thank You, Lord, that You're not a heavenly Father that just leaves us to our own devices and by that demonstrate that You don't love us. Thank You that You chasten those that You love, that You direct those that You love. God, help us to experience You in reality. Be real to us as a church and as individuals. Manifest Yourself to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and by Your Holy Spirit, that we might walk with You as Enoch walked with You, and that others may see and know that You're real. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to